Senator, let's talk about what you're headed up there to do. The Senate back in session at 11 o'clock this morning, where a bill to sort of rein in the governor's emergency powers when it comes to schools is likely to pass. Where are you at on this legislation, and what exactly does it do?
So the legislation that that we'll have on the Senate floor today basically gives school districts and local communities, families, school boards, the authority to make decisions on whether or not their schools should be closed. So, for example, Governor Walz forced the closure of not only schools but businesses. And what this would do is it gives schools basically the opportunity and the flexibility to make those decisions locally rather than the governor making them for the entire state. And part of the reasoning was behind this, TJ, we had this bill up during one of the special sessions this fall as well, and it really came from parents, students, community members, some school board members, and even some teachers that we heard from that didn't feel like a one-size-fits-all approach by the governor was the right approach, and they thought that school districts should have more flexibility in determining whether or not their school districts should be open during the situation that we've been in over the last year now.
So, obviously, the announcement coming yesterday, a lot of Republicans saying that that wasn't enough. Would you agree to that to this point in the pandemic?
Well, the timing of the announcement was was interesting, TJ. We started moving this bill and had it up for Thursday, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Governor Walz has a press conference on Wednesday, the day before the Senate has this bill on the floor. So what I'll say is it's encouraging. All we want is the governor to come to the table, have discussions with the legislature. We want to work together. Personally, I can't speak for everybody because I've been hearing an awful lot of complaints about the decisions that the governor has been making. But, you know, personally, I believe some of those decisions were the right decisions. Others, a little bit more questionable, and others I completely disagreed with. But the reality is, after the first 2 or 3 months of this pandemic, the governor should have been, and to this day should be, working together with the legislature on these decisions related to the COVID pandemic. I feel that the state of Minnesota and the people of Minnesota would be much better served if the governor would work together with the legislature on these important decisions.
Senator Jeremy Miller, our guest this morning on In the Know. And Senator, of course, there is two different sides. It seems like both parties are interested in somehow reining these in. Democrats want to make, or the governor has asked the Democrats to make the mask mandate part of state law. And of course, you guys have the package we've been talking about this morning. How does this shake out? And is there any sort of bipartisan support here for somehow implementing some of these COVID safety measures as part of state law and not necessarily leaving it up to the governor to decide when to end those orders or modify those orders?
TJ, I think if the parties involved wanted to work together and come to the table and work on solutions that are good for the people of the state of Minnesota, I believe that there is a path forward. You know, the governor has stated publicly that, you know, he's willing to work together, but he hasn't shown that with actions. But I do believe that there is a path forward, and Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate are very, very interested in bringing a satisfactory conclusion to the governor's emergency powers. It's very frustrating for not only the members of the legislature, but certainly the members of the public. Minnesotans across the state have expressed their frustration. I've heard from many of them in the district that I represent. And again, I am always willing to listen and work together, and I feel like there is a path forward. However, we need the parties involved, including the governor, to want there to be a solution. And at this point, I'm not sure that's the case.
Senator Jeremy Miller is our guest this morning. And Senator, you're working on a bill that would keep Minnesota's historical tax credit in place. Tell us a little more about it.
PJ, back in 2010, the state of Minnesota passed what's called a historical tax credit to provide incentives to renovate historic buildings across the state of Minnesota. The program has been very, very successful. And back in 2010, they put a sunset date on of 2020. So the historic tax credit program is set to sunset this year. And I've introduced a bill. It's actually, I was going to say a bipartisan bill, but it's a tripartisan bill. Democrats, independents, and Republicans are on the bill to eliminate the sunset on that historic tax credit. And basically what it does is it provides a 20% refundable tax credit at the state level. There's also a federal historic tax credit. In order to qualify for the state historic tax credit, you also have to qualify for the federal, which is also 20%. And it provides nice incentives for folks to renovate these historic buildings. Just for example, in Winona, recently there's been, I believe, about four buildings in the downtown area that's generated about $2.5 million of investment in downtown Winona in renovating these historic buildings. And that's just one example, one city, the city of Winona. So it's a great, not only does it help renovate and in our case help revitalize our downtown area, but it promotes economic development, it encourages public-private partnerships, and it's led to a number of jobs across the state of Minnesota. So I'm very excited about it. We laid it over in the tax committee for further consideration towards the end of session when we're looking at a tax bill. So I'm very excited for that. I'm optimistic that that's something that we're going to be able to get done, and it'll be great for not only our community, but communities all across the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest selling point here, right? Is, I mean, you drive through almost any town in Minnesota, there's historic buildings at least somewhere, especially in those downtowns, and especially after what the pandemic's done to the economy, a lot of folks are probably looking for that type of downtown development. So you said this could be put into part of a tax bill. What's the climate like around a tax bill? I mean, is it possible that this is a package where the sum of the parts aren't going to get enough votes despite a bipartisan item like this, or is this tax bill largely bipartisan too?
Well, TJ, I think it's too early to say. The big piece of the tax bill that's still under consideration is making the PPP dollars from the federal program basically tax exempt at the state level to provide federal conformity at the state level, or at the federal level, I'm sorry. Those dollars that were received by businesses during the pandemic, the Paycheck Protection Program to help support jobs during the pandemic, it is tax exempt at the federal level. Under current law in the state of Minnesota, it's taxable. So there is bipartisan discussion and support to make the PPP loan forgiveness also tax exempt here in the state of Minnesota, which would be incredibly beneficial to small businesses throughout the state of Minnesota. So we're working on that. The roadblock, the hurdle there, TJ, is it's very expensive. It's about $411 million in order to get that done. So I think that'll be one of the more discussed pieces of the tax bill when we get there. But at this point, it's too early to say until we get a better idea of what the February budget forecast is going to look like, which will be released later this month. But again, I'm hopeful. I don't think it'll be a tax bill that to the level that we've seen in years past, but I do think there are some important things that we can do to help small businesses across the state of Minnesota, help with the historic tax credit like we just talked about to promote economic development and job growth in communities across the state of Minnesota in a tax bill. So we'll see what happens. It's a little too early to say what that tax bill will look like as we come to the end of session.
Senator Jeremy Miller is our guest this morning, and for what it's worth, Senator, a similar piece of legislation involving the state taxes on PPP loans passed the Wisconsin Assembly with wildly bipartisan support. I know they're on the other side of the river, but there are some other examples of states modifying their tax laws to accommodate that type of situation. Senator, if we want to contact you, what's a good way to go about doing that?
TJ, I did hear about the Wisconsin PPP proposal because I was listening to your newscast yesterday.
All right.
thank you for the work you do in helping keep local folks informed. It's very much appreciated. My telephone number at the Capitol, 651-296-5649. Email address is sen.jeremy.miller@senate.mn. Things are starting to pick up at the Capitol with committee hearings, floor sessions, different meetings, many of which are by Zoom, of course. But so it might take me a day or so to get back, but I do listen to the voicemails, take the calls, read the emails, so keep them coming, please, and appreciate all the input and the feedback. It's incredibly important in the work that we do at the state capitol. So thank you for having me on, and thanks for everyone for listening, and have a great day.